Talking today with Colin Woodall of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Colin, your group, your cattle producers that you represent have had a lot of interest in some of the things that were going on regarding the fiscal cliff negotiations and the final measure that was passed by the Senate, the House, and of course signed by President Obama now. I know at the top of the list that you had really for most of the fall had to be some resolution regarding the death tax.
You're right, Ron. The death tax was our number one priority in this package. And what we got is a mixed bag. We were able to maintain our exemption amount at $5 million per person and $10 million per couple. We were also able to make sure that those levels are indexed to inflation so they grow over time. And we were also able to maintain the step-up in basis. The one thing that we were not able to maintain, however, is the tax rate on everything above those exemption amounts. That moved from 35% to 40%. Now, when you know the whole story, that's not necessarily that bad of a compromise because the original deal was pushing for an exemption amount of only $3.5 million. So by getting that extra 5%, although it's not ideal, it's better than having our exemptions reduced. So overall, we feel pretty good about this. Probably the best part, though, however, Ron, is that this is permanent, so we don't have to fight this every 2 years like we have been for the past several years.
I know that, as long as the fact that it was indexed, I know those are two pretty significant achievements.
No, they were. The indexing was extremely important because if we had not gotten that done, then that $5 million would have become obsolete pretty quickly when you look at inflationary pressures in the country right now. So making that happen, I think, will provide a long-term blanket of security to our members. And more importantly, since we're not going to have to spend as much time protecting those levels, then we can actually turn our efforts to try to find some other ways to protect estates and make sure that we can keep farms and ranches in the family. Some of the things we're looking at is trying to revise the Section 2032A special use valuation to try to find more protection for people who are actively involved in agriculture.
For our listeners that may be not totally familiar about, you know, value of land these days, value of equipment, value of animals, you know, what sort of an operation, a cattle operation, would be out there in the countryside that would be right up against that $5 million level?
Well, you know, that's something that has long eluded us because a lot of our members don't want to talk about how much money and how much assets they have, Ron. That's been an interesting situation, though. The one thing that we do know is that in looking at reverting back to only that $1 million valuation, which would have happened if we had not gotten this deal, we were pretty certain that we would have had the vast majority of operations that would have fallen under that, and that just comes from the sheer value of land these days that you're seeing. When you're seeing Illinois farmland that's going anywhere from $15,000 to $18,000, when you have, everybody knows, when you have tractors and combines that cost the way they do, and when you look at the value of cattle, when you look at houses and buildings and barns, you don't have to have much more than just an average cattle operation to probably start looking at that $5 million. So that's one thing that most people just don't appreciate is how much money and how many assets go into agriculture, but that's just the assets on paper. That's not necessarily cash in their pocket.
Right. Now, moving on to the Farm Bill extension, I know one thing that was a big, big disappointment to a lot of people, fact that this language that was advanced apparently by Senator McConnell did not include the ag disaster programs that expired at the end of 2011. I know that's a worry, right?
Well, it is a worry because when you look at the original plan that was floated by Chairman Lucas and Chairwoman Stabenow, it had some mandatory disaster spending that would have helped a lot of our producers. That did not make it in the final bill. So unfortunately, we're in a situation we're going to have to continue to work with the appropriators to try to find some options and, more importantly, just work as close as we can with both House and Senate Agriculture Committees to get a new bill done as quickly as possible so we have a long-term disaster program that is put in place and is ready to go, because we know that just coming off this historic drought and looking going into yet another year of drought, we're going to have a lot of producers who are going to need that help.
I know that it seems like the commitment is there from the leadership, both Ms. Stabenow as well as Mr. Lucas.
No doubt that both of them have been very supportive of trying to get us some help. As a matter of fact, over the weekend, it looked like we had a package where there was going to be mandatory spending for the disaster programs. And as you said, Senator McConnell eventually pulled that out. So I think that we will be successful in whatever form this new farm bill, the 2013 farm bill, takes in getting some of that done. The question will be is just how quickly can we get these bills done and get them signed into law so that way we can take the farm bill discussion off the table.
At this point, as you look ahead into 2013 now, Colin, we've arrived, and most certainly we're going to be seeing the reorganization of Congress very, very quickly with the new members sworn in this week yet. Any big differences? In other words, we had talked, of course, at one point, maybe some changes in the Senate Ag Committee. Any real changes, though, in the players as we try to mark up the 2013 Farm Bill now?
You know, there's really not. There's a couple of new faces, especially on the House Ag Committee, from new members that got elected. But really, though, the players that have been a part of the 2012 process are going to be the players and the leaders in the 2013 process. We're going to, like to say, a few new members that we're going to have to get educated, but it'll be a fast education since both the House and Senate Ag Committees have alluded to the fact that they want to do a markup of their bills in February. So we'll have to work pretty quick, but we're not going to see any just major changes in leadership that would really upset the apple cart.
When it comes to faces in Washington, of course, one face that is disappearing from the scene pretty soon, Lisa Jackson at EPA, does that give you any hope that we might be treated better at that agency, or is it just going to be more of the same?
No, actually, it does give us quite a bit of hope, and that was a very good Christmas present to learn that she was moving on. She's been a burr under our saddle for quite some time, and we have butted heads with her on a whole host of issues. One of the biggest ones is being what she was trying to do to regulate ag dust, and you know, it took us over 2 years of hard work to get to that point, and then when she didn't regulate it, she came out and said, well, I never was going to do that anyway, and it's just kind of that little game that she's played with agriculture that we didn't appreciate much. Of course, the question now is who will take that spot? It brings back the old adage, the devil you know sometimes is better than the one that you don't. So we're going to be watching very closely as we expect to start seeing some names float up here in the next couple of weeks.
One other area, Colin, going back, I had a conversation with Chairman Lucas last night right after the vote, and one thing that he alluded to kind of at the end of our conversation was the fact that the reality is, as we write this 2013 Farm Bill, we're going to be doing it right straight into the teeth of this sequestration and debt limit battle, and that the reality is, and we've known this for quite a while now, as we write into legislation this year, probably fewer dollars, and that's going to cause some pressures, obviously, really across the board, isn't it?
And he's right, and that's probably the biggest tragedy of this entire discussion, is that writing this 2013 bill is not going to be any easier than writing the 2012 bill. And I think a lot of people will discover, as we get to that point where we're up against the debt ceiling and sequestration again, a lot of folks are going to say, boy, I really wish we'd have passed that 2012 bill.
And isn't that the truth? Colin, appreciate your time today. Colin Woodall of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association joining us today on the Long Line. I'm Ron Hayes on the OklahomaFarmReport.com.